right after the international.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 13th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. Senegal and Morocco have advanced to Africa's final qualification round for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. The Senegalese and the Moroccans both clinched their respective four-team qualifying groups with victories on Tuesday. In Johannesburg, South Africa, Senegal defeated Namibia 3-1, with Famara Didu scoring all three goals for the Senegalese. Two came off headers, and Famara finished his hat trick with a tap-in in the 84th minute. Meanwhile, in Rabat, host Morocco advanced with a 4-1 victory against Guinea. Substitute Salim Amala had two goals for the Moroccans, who won Group I with two qualifiers still left in November. The Atlas Lions of Morocco have 12 points from four matches. And another pride of Lions, the Lions of Teranga of Senegal, are the winners of Group H with 12 points from four matches. Like the Moroccans, the Senegalese still have two qualifiers left in November, but both teams have officially booked their place in Africa's playoffs in March 2022. Now, during that stage, 10 African teams will be drawn into home and away ties, and the winners of those five ties will go to Qatar. In more African World Cup qualifying results from Tuesday, 2019 Nations Cup champion Algeria scored a big 4-0 win against host Niger. The Desert Foxes of Algeria moved to the top of Group A with 10 points from four qualifiers, while Niger has been eliminated. The Stallions of Burkina Faso also have 10 points in this group, but the Algerians have a much better goal difference, and that could prove crucial when the teams meet in Algeria next month in their final qualifier. The Desert Foxes versus the Stallions, a real World Cup qualifying dust-up in Algeria. In African World Cup qualifying Group G on Tuesday, South Africa defeated visiting Ethiopia in Johannesburg 1-0 on an own goal by Ethiopia's captain Getane Kebede in the first half. And I'm sure that left many Ethiopian fans shaking their heads in dismay. And also in that group, Ghana beat host Zimbabwe 1-0 on a 31st-minute goal from Thomas Partey. Now, this group is now a two-team race between South Africa and Ghana. The South Africans lead with 10 points from four qualifiers, while the Ghanaians have 9 points from four matches. Ethiopia and Zimbabwe have been eliminated with two qualifiers still left in November. And in one more African World Cup qualifying result Tuesday, Togo topped host Brazzaville 2-1 in a Group H fixture. Both teams have been eliminated, with Senegal having clinched this group with its 3-1 victory over Namibia.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho-Sredovic, national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Coach. Coach Micho and the Ugandan Cranes are coming off two victories over neighbor Rwanda, and those victories keep Ugandan hopes alive for a first-ever World Cup berth. Uganda has 8 points in Group E, 2 points behind top of the table Mali. Kenya and Rwanda have been eliminated in this group, with two qualifiers still left in November.
Join me on the next Straight Talk Africa for my conversation with the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, about the global fight against COVID-19 and what is at risk for Africa's women. I'll also speak to Fiona Atuwebwe from the World Health Organization about vaccine equity and plans to boost vaccine manufacturing in Africa. Join me, Heidi Adams, on the next Straight Talk Africa this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African boxing, Uganda has produced several world champions over the years, among them Kassim the Dream Ouma, John the Beast Mugabe, and Ayub Kalule, who lost his WBA junior middleweight title to American star Sugar Ray Leonard 40 years ago at the Astrodome in Houston, Texas. In hopes of discovering and developing future world champions, the Uganda Boxing Federation recently invited about 700 boxers to national trials. Joining us now from Kampala is Magume Davis Rakawinge. Sporty warm greetings, Magume.
Sporty warm greetings to Tusani and our listeners. Hundreds of young boxers from different parts of the country turned up to Gogo Boxing Arena to participate in the national boxing trials. One of them is 19-year-old Vincent Mubilu, who fights in the lightweight category.
This is so very important to me that I'm now qualified to national team. I want to be competing in big tournaments. I'm so happy that I have won. I'm going back to train very hard so that I go to national bombers, so that I compete in big tournaments. Yeah. So God be with me all the time.
Inspired by Catherine Nanzili, Uganda's first female boxer at the Olympics, flyweight boxer Sarah Nantongo believes she too can get a chance to make it to the international competitions.
I'm so happy because the boxing is back in the system. And I'm happy of the league which is coming. I'm going to be part of it. It was good to take her because in Uganda she was the first one to participate in the Olympics. So I was happy because my fellow woman went and represented me there. Yeah, I'm more energized. This time I'm well prepared.
Dolin Nasali, a middleweight boxer, has been a regular member of the Bombers, the Uganda national boxing team, and also came in for trials. She says she's ready to face any opponent that comes her way.
Yeah, we have fought and we are going for the finals, inshallah, for the trials, and we are going to pass through to go to the Commonwealth Champions. Because I'm very sure I'm going to bang that lady. Yeah, because I'm very ready. I've trained enough. My coaches have given me what is very possible. And I know my goal is Commonwealth. It will lead me to the Olympic Games.
Patrick Lihanda, the national boxing coach, said he was pleased the raw talent he's seen in the budding boxers.
We have young boxers who are coming up, challenging the old boxers.
So far, one of the boxers lost bronze medalist in the Commonwealth Games. But so far, we had COVID. That's why it's very expensive to organize boxing from juniors up to where we have to go. But this one is good because we are identifying young talents, and they're doing good. I know by the time we get to the finals, we shall have a good national boxing team, both the young ones, the youth, and the elite.
Light heavyweight fighter Idris Muchir won all his bouts by KO to book a selection to the national team. Muchir says his generation will bring back the boxing glory Uganda has had in the past.
I deserve it, sure. Because previously I stopped on finals, yeah? Maybe it wasn't my time. I liked some experience, but now I feel I have the experience and I deserve it. I'm hard, I'm skilled with some of the good coaches, so I deserve it. I have to be on the team as a must. All I'm aiming at is whatever my country is to participate in, I want to be part of it. Because I feel I'm strong and the old version is gone, because those who were traveling, they didn't manage to bring a thing. Because, yeah, I see that I'm capable of bringing something to our country and making it proud.
Boxing is one of the most successful sports in the country, with the respectable for Olympic medals and others in Commonwealth Games. The country also boasts of some great fighters such as John the Beast Mugabe, the former WBC super welterweight title holder, Kasim Ouma, who held the IBF junior middleweight title in 2004, as well as Justin Juko, the destroyer, who won a gold medal at the Commonwealth Games in Auckland, New Zealand in 1990. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. My name is Moses Muhanji, President of Uganda Boxing Federation, also member AIBA Marketing Commission, and also member AIBA Observers Commission. And you are listening to the Sun Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Moses. And thanks also to Mugume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala for that spicy Ugandan boxing feature.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndumbulo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African boxing beat, our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, says he's looking forward to seeing a former world lightweight champion from Ghana climb between the ropes again in December.
Sonny, December 11th, Madison Square Garden, expect the Hollywood man to get on the plane for the first time in 2 years. As a matter of fact, December 2019 was the last time I was in a boxing arena to watch a fight. That was when I watched Teofimo Lopez do a number on Richard Comey at Madison Square Garden. I will be going back for this first time to travel. I will be ringside. And I am saying it here on Sunny Side of Sports. I'm picking Richard Comey to upset Lomachenko December 11th. Comey is taller, has a longer reach, and he will come in very hungry, knowing that a win over Lomachenko, that everyone thinks highly of, will put him in that position to challenge any of the money lightweights in boxing. I want to remind you again, the lightweight division has some superstars that have great pay-per-view numbers. You're not talking about a fight of a million or a million and a half. You're talking about fights of 2.5, 3.5 onwards. Homeboy from Accra, Ghana, all he has to do his thing on December 11, and I'll be there ringside to cheer him up at Madison Square Garden. Put the defeat by Teofimo Lopez behind him. He's hungry. And then I think he will have Africa behind him and he will perform. I say it again, Richard Comey defeats Lomachenko at Madison Square Garden.
Thanks, Namdi. That's Namdi Hollywood Moeta picking Richard Comey to win on December 11th at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Meanwhile, in Tokyo, another Ghanaian fighter, Samuel Tachi, won Ghana's first Olympic medal in 29 years. In this Sunny Side of Sports Olympic highlight, Yawafusu Larbi reviews the performance of Team Ghana in Tokyo, and Tachi tops his report. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Now, Ghana's Olympic team returned home with one medal, a bronze for young boxer Samuel Tachi. The 20-year-old's medal was the first since 1992 and the first boxing medal in 49 years.
As you can know, Olympic Games is a very highest platform, biggest platform in, you know, in 29 years, Ghana have never brought a medal, taking a medal in the Olympic Games. So that time, I was very happy there to break that record.
The country's medal drought at the Olympic Games dates many years back, but there were a few personal victories for the country. Young swimmer Abeku Jackson set a new national record in the men's 100-meter butterfly in a time of 53.39 seconds. Ghana's relay team also made it to the final of the 4x100 relay race for the first time since 1996 and broke a long-standing national record set in 1997. The team ran 38.08 seconds to make it to the final, denying the United States of America a place. Joseph Paul Amoah, a final year student at the Coppin State University who ran in that race, says it brought him utmost joy.
Honestly, I feel like relay is a relay. I mean, looking at all these big teams like great relay countries, USA, Jamaica, America, Great Britain, anything will happen in a relay. And it's looking at us like we just knocked out USA in our heat. You know, I can imagine what's going on in their minds too, but like anything will happen. So what disqualified us could happen to any other country. It doesn't matter how long you train, a relay is a relay. Like the stick passing is very, very important. So we feel like we still have more in the tank. We see ourselves to be a sub 38 team. It might sound a little, you know, crazy, but we feel like with the potential that we have, looking at our individual times in our individual events, we feel like we could do better. Even though there's a national record, I mean, we thank God that we're able to break it. It's been there for a very long time, but we know we still have more in the tank, and hopefully the next time we can even break our record.
The relay team was one of the youngest at the Olympic Games, and it gives hope that in subsequent games, there could be glory. The oldest among the lot, Sean Safuentri, who previously ran for Great Britain before shifting focus to run for Ghana, says breaking the national record in that fashion was massive for him.
It's always been a dream to compete in the 4x1 with Team Ghana, so that's something I've always wanted to do. Breaking the national record means a lot. We've got so much potential to go. We feel like we haven't yet hit our max. We still want more. We're still hungry. So, that's one of the ticks of my checklist that I've ticked off. We managed to make an Olympic final for the 4x1. So I'm pleased.
Ghana's relay team was full of Olympic debutants. In February, Benjamin Azamati broke the country's national record, running a time of 9.97 seconds. But he failed to qualify from his first race after running a time of 10.13 seconds alongside Jamaican Johan Blake. He admits the stage can get a bit overwhelming for a novice.
I mean, it comes with much joy, you know, to do something that most athletes, you know, wish for. I mean, a lot of athletes wanted to get to this podium, wanted to get to this stage and couldn't make it. So making it alone, I feel accomplished. But, you know, I had to, you know, come here to deliver and everything. And to have your debut and, you know, to run against Johan Blake and the like. You know, there are people that we looked up to, you know, we being kids when we started running. And to run alongside him shows how much, how far you have come. So, I mean, if, I felt really proud of myself. Aside the nation, you know, supporting me and all, I felt really proud of myself. I knew that, yes, you know, I took track serious and this is where I am now. And to be able to, you know, get to this stage is something that I can, you know, boast about and all that, you know, get to any place and say that, yeah, I'm an Olympian and I work hard for that.
Ghana has never won a track and field medal at the Olympic Games, and many believe it is high time we did at this stage. With this team, maybe, just maybe, the glory will come soon. For the sunny side of sports, this is Yalfo Silabi in Accra.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young. And you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. In African basketball, the Giants of Africa Foundation says it's building basketball courts across the continent. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the president of the NBA's Toronto Raptors team and the Giants of Africa Foundation, Masai Ujiri.
Well, this is Giants of Africa, and we have made a commitment to building courts all around the continent. Obviously, we started that program of Build Within, and we'll continue to grow. We've built 10 courts already, and we've commissioned 5 of them. This is the 5th, and we're going on to commission a few more. We wanted to encourage kids, encourage the youth. We're growing the game around the continent, playing basketball, giving them facilities to play and infrastructure.
All right, your target is 100 courts. And in how many countries?
And we're going to choose all the sports around. We've already built in Tanzania, in Kenya. We're going to open in Burkina Faso. It's going to be everywhere, places we've developed relationships and we have programs, and we're going to continue to grow programs. So nothing specific, but we will be, just like our Giants of Africa program, we will be around the continent.
Can you talk about the Basketball Africa League, the philosophy behind it? What's your take about it?
I think it's unbelievable. I think Amadou Fall has done an incredible job. Victor with NBA Africa, I think Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, is supporting what we do on the continent. Basketball is a business and we have to grow it. We have to establish leagues, and this was in the forefront of what we want to do on this continent. And now they have established that, hopefully it continues to grow. I was in the first edition of the Basketball League Africa in Rwanda, and it went excellently well, and we'll continue to build this and grow this as we go.
And then what's your take about the next edition of it that will take place, and what do you suggest that should be done here?
No, the basketball league is I think should go everywhere. It should be, to me, it should operate like a league, and it should be in country, and all the different countries play home and away, or however we do it. Due to COVID, we were just able to play in a bubble in one city. But as long as it spreads in Africa and the leagues continue to grow, countries establish their own leagues, but establish teams that can play in the basketball league, it will grow and it will be really, really like substantial for everybody.
That's Masai Ujiri, the president of the NBA's Toronto Raptors team and the Giants of Africa Foundation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Masai. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you check it out today, Wednesday, you'll see a photo of me and Masai Ujiri at the 2018 Basketball Without Borders Africa Camp in Johannesburg, South Africa. And you can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. In more basketball news, the NBA's Brooklyn Nets team has told star guard Kyrie Irving to get vaccinated for the coronavirus or stay home. The AP's Tom Merriam reports.
The Brooklyn Nets have announced that star guard Kyrie Irving will not be allowed to play in any games or practice until he is vaccinated or New York City changes its vaccine mandate. Under New York law, Irving was not permitted to play in any games at the Nets' home arena, the Barclays Center, without the vaccine, but could play on the road. He would have been able to practice at the team training center since it is considered a private facility. However, Nets general manager Sean Marks said the decision to ban Irving was made by himself and team owner Joe Tsai and was based on what's best for the organization at this time.
I think we all know what our objective is this year and how this a decision like this may be able to fix that ultimate objective. So they're never easy decisions, but at the end of the day, I think we're looking at putting a group of people out there that are going to be able to participate fully.
Tom Merriam, New York.
Thanks, Tom. The Brooklyn Nets and other NBA teams are currently playing preseason games. The Nets will tip off the NBA's regular season on October 19th when they play a road game against the defending NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamites basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
An update now on the Major League Baseball playoffs here in the United States. The Houston Astros have advanced to the American League Championship Series by trouncing the Chicago White Sox 10-1. The AP's David Schuster reports from Chicago.
Jose Altuve filled up the stat sheet as the Astros defeated the White Sox 10-1, thus winning the ALDS in four games. Altuve had three hits, a home run, and three RBIs, also scored four times. Altuve says he doesn't try and put up big numbers in big games.
Before the game, you're not thinking about being the hero, but you got to be ready just in case you need to be the hero. So I think that's a mentality we all have. You know, we're just trying to win a game.
Michael Brantley chipped in with three hits as the Astros had 14 for the game to go along with four stolen bases. The Astros now advance on to the ALCS for the fifth straight year, and they'll have home field advantage against the Boston Red Sox with that series starting on Friday night. David Schuster, Chicago.
Thanks, David. Now let's go to the southern U.S. city of Atlanta, Georgia, where the Atlanta Braves advanced to the National League Championship Series. The AP's Gary McKillops reports from Atlanta.
Freddie Freeman blasted a solo home run on the bottom of the eighth inning to give Atlanta a 5-4 victory over the Milwaukee Brewers and send the Braves to the National League Championship Series. Atlanta won the division series 3-1, and Freeman said this after the game.
The pure joy, you know, in that clubhouse, you know, that's everything we've worked for since February is to get to the playoffs and then keep moving on and moving on.
The Brewers led 2-0 in the top of the fourth and 4-2 in the fifth, but the Braves answered both times and tied the game at 4-4. Rowdy Tellez had a two-run homer in the fifth for Milwaukee. Braves starter Charlie Morton went 3 1/3 innings on 3 days rest. Tyler Matzek got the win in relief. Gary McKillops, Atlanta.
Wraps up the October 13th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it?